Hey, Becca, what's the best platform to sell an online course with?
The only answer is Kajabi. It's an all-in-one platform where you can host your course or your membership and your blog and your website and a podcast and your email all in one.
And even better, you can get a free 30-day trial of Kajabi to see why we love it so much.
See the links below or head to teachwellonline.com/Kajabi to get a 30-day free trial. And you can play around with your course, with your membership, and see all the tools it has to offer to grow your business.
If you want to teach well online, deliver your content well. In this episode, we're going to talk about the keys to great delivery, because if you want to teach well, you have to deliver it well.
Welcome to the Teach Well Online podcast, where we are in a series walking you through how to teach well from A to Z. We are covering every letter of the alphabet to help you show up, teach well, so you sell more than ever before. And in this episode, welcome, we have landed on letter K, the keys to delivery. I'm really excited about this one. It's different. If you've been listening to our episodes, we are not going to go in depth on every single point because we have 31 keys to delivery.
And where do these keys come from? They come from our experience, not only filming courses ourselves, but also filming courses for others. We know what it takes to make sure that you show up on camera ready to go, whether you show up in front of a mic ready to go. So we're going to give you 31 keys to delivering your content really well. Now, if people are listening to you talk, they might guess your personality. Are you introverted or extroverted?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I think it's actually a combo. What do they call it? Like the introverted extrovert. I like being around people, but not a lot of people. I like small groups. That's where I can thrive. But I can turn it on and be in front of a lot of people.
Yeah. So like when you show up on Instagram on all five of your different Instagram channels, when you show up on a podcast, when you film your courses, like if somebody's looking at you, like you have a really good camera presence and you kind of come across like you're the life of the party, right? Like you just bring the energy.
That's very sweet. I don't feel
Would
like that
disagree?
In real life. I mean, that's very sweet. I do, compared to you, yes. You are much more introverted, like, whereas I am a little bit more like, I can turn on the extrovertedness, but I would prefer a smaller group of people. But we're very different in that. And Enneagram type, you are hardcore Enneagram 6. Like if you could see our entire garage that Chad has outfitted for our YouTube channel, the 6 is like you have everything from plan A to plan Z. Like you know, you have the backup for the backup for the backup. That's not how I roll. I'm like a combo 2-3 Enneagram. I'm the helper, I'm the achiever, all of these put together. We are very, very different when it comes to our personality types and how we even deliver our content.
Yeah.
You're a writer. I'm a free spirit.
and I'm also, I would definitely proclaim myself to be introverted. But much like you, I know how to be around people. I know how to teach. I know how to turn it on when I need to turn it on.
We've also filmed a lot of different personality types. And this is why and how we got to the keys for delivery. Because really these 31 keys to delivery don't have anything to do with like, oh, you have a camera presence. Make sure you do this. It actually is for anyone. Like these 31 keys are for anyone who wants to have an online course.
Much like we say that anyone can teach well online if they know how, I absolutely believe whether you are an introvert, whether you're an extrovert, whether you're an Enneagram 1, Enneagram 8, whatever you call it, anyone can deliver their content really, really well if they know these keys. And we're going to go through 31 of them and you're going to want to hear every single one. But we have a guest on this episode.
We do. Someone who has made our delivery methods just like giving them the magic touch. So our friend, Courtney Eibinger, she is a Kajabi specialist. She's joining us on the podcast today to share how Kajabi can help you deliver with even more excellence.
So let's go ahead and get into it.
Okay? Yeah, because we have 31, so we got to roll.
All right.
People don't want to be here all day.
All right. The first key to delivering well is you have to deliver the right content to the right people, because your delivery doesn't matter. Showing up on camera, showing up in a mic does not matter if you're delivering the wrong content to the wrong people.
Right. And this is where you can download our free course clarity framework. Before you can even get into the 30 other keys of delivery, you're going to have to make sure you're teaching the right people. And our free course clarity framework will do that. Scroll down in the show notes, grab that first, head to teachwellonline.com/framework. And we want to give that to you. Okay. The second key to delivery is you have to deliver content that is ingrained in you. This, you cannot show up and deliver content that you haven't been living, breathing, or speaking to people for months or years on end. You cannot have a fresh idea one morning and then record it the next week. This has got to be something that's lived experience that is like, I could wake you up from a cold, dead sleep and you just tell me everything I need to know.
And we recorded an entire podcast episode on authenticity and it being ingrained in you, because this gets into a little bit about AI. If AI inputs information into you that you try to get out, it's not ingrained in you. It's someone else's thoughts, something else's thoughts. It's not going to work out great. All right. Number three, you have to deliver your content in the right format. So whether that's direct to camera, whether that's audio only, whether that's a slide deck, you have to determine which of those is right for you, which of those is going to be best for the people that are learning from you, but you have to deliver in the right format.
Number four is to always start with a smile. This is actually something that you ingrained in me when we were filming. You can have the total RBF face if you do not start with a smile. So before you even start speaking, just smile.
That's on video, but that's also if you're recording a podcast, right? Just start with a smile. Nobody's going to see that smile, but they're going to hear that smile. Oh, always yes. Start with a smile. All right, number five. Transcript or no transcript? You have to choose. Do I use a transcript? Do I write out everything? The pros to doing that is that you know exactly what you're going to say. You're not going to say anything more. You're not going to say anything less. You're less likely to stumble on your words or mess up.
But the con is if you're someone like me, a transcript will actually make you stumble because you don't have the freedom to add in what you want to say at the cadence you want to say it. And it actually, I feel restricted when
I
feel restricted. When I use a transcript, I don't feel like I can be myself. And this is our personality type difference. What would you prefer?
I would prefer a transcript.
Yeah. And I'm like, absolutely not. Just give me the outline because I know my content and I just want to be able to fill in those points.
Yep.
So know if you are that. Number six, know when you need to hire versus do it yourself.
So all of the online course platforms, the Kajabis of the world, everybody, all the marketing coaches, they're going to say, just do it yourself. And that is so true. You don't need big and fancy. You don't need all of the expensive gear. You literally can take your craft. You can teach it well without having all the nice stuff. But you have to know when it's time to hire out. And it ultimately goes down to your goals. If you want to sell more, if you are in a very competitive field, if your brand image and reputation is at stake, hire it. If you don't have the skill set to edit, make things look good, hire the right people to do it.
And do it right the first time, yeah. Which is something that we are huge sticklers on because we've seen a lot of people try to deliver a course and it's not a great quality. And then they have to actually redo it way sooner because it's not done well the first time. And so the quality suffers and therefore they have to spend more money later on down the road to fix what happened.
That's right. Number seven, don't change anything the day before you record.
Preach, preach this.
don't
change anything the day before you record.
I mean, and that's not just with teaching. Like we do a lot of performing with music and stuff like that. We don't change anything the day before.
No,
like,
yesterday was Easter Sunday and I was leading a song at church and Chad kind of brought it. He was like, I think this song is stretching you a little bit. Like, hey, do you think you want to lower it? And I looked at him like, are you kidding? It's like an hour before the service. Like, no.
But the biggest reason we teach this is because if you try to change things, like you've been preparing all of this time, you have tons of life lived experience, developing your skill, developing your story, developing your service. It's ingrained in you. If you start to change things last minute, it's going to start to take apart everything that you've worked at. So you've got to make sure that you stick to the plan.
Number eight, surround yourself by the right people. This is a secret weapon that we have employed many times. When you are recording something or filming something, invite someone to come and be with you. I played this role for many of our clients because I would get to know them before film day. And so when I saw them kind of start to slouch or start to not start with a smile, or even when they would veer off of their content a little bit, I could say, oh, hold on, start with a smile. Oh, shoulders back. Oh, do this. And you want to have someone someone there who is not in charge of the camera. The cameraman or the camera woman is not always paying attention to those details. They have 100 other things that they are being concerned about: the lighting, the audio, the quality. They are likely not looking at, oh, your necklace is on backwards. Oh, this hair is in the way. You need to have someone else who you trust to be able to call out things that are happening along the way. So if you want to deliver your content well, have someone you trust with you to help you perform or speak well.
Number 9, angles matter. Yes. So let's talk both video and audio for a second. From the video perspective, Becca, take it away.
Oh, Chad knows I'm a stickler for this. We all have that angle that we know that we like, but also I have coached other entrepreneurs on even their phone camera angles. Chad calls it the up no shot.
That's right.
If you are holding your phone like this, like below that you're filming. And honestly, I think it's because people feel self-conscious. They like are going like this, or they're like this, or they have it tilted up. Like, no, you got to bring it up. And really what you want is you want your eyes right in line with your camera. It used to be a thing where it was like this, so you could have like, I don't know, a skinnier face, but you really actually want your eyes in line with your phone on your camera. If you're delivering stories or if you're delivering any type of content on your phone, especially if it's turned sideways, again, making sure that you have that same line of direction on the camera.
And the same applies to microphones, right? If you're using a particular type of microphone that's omnidirectional or more directional, you have to make sure you're pointing it in the right spot to make sure you get the best amount of sound.
Number 10 is to look your best. You will deliver so much better if you look and feel your best. Even if there are just slides, even if it's just audio, when you show up and you feel good about how you look, you like the outfit you're wearing, you put real shoes on, maybe instead of, you know, slippers that you're wearing, whatever you do to up level how you feel, this will absolutely transfer to how your content is delivered, because you're going to carry yourself in a way that you like how you look, you like how you feel. Again, whether the camera is on or off, if you are choosing a camera on setting, then your makeup matters. Ladies, like, this is where lashes come in, like a little bit heavier makeup, because the camera does wash those things out. If you can have a professional makeup artist, if you know, like, I'm going to do it really right the first time, awesome. But making sure you show up when you deliver your content on that recording day, look and feel your best.
Number 11, this may not be possible for everyone, but we try to encourage everyone we've worked with, and I want to encourage you, if you can make this happen, try to teach your content live first. Live meaning it doesn't have to be this big event, although you could make a little money off of it, and it's wise, that's what you did. But it could also just be getting people in your living room and just teaching it in front of live people, because it will prepare you more than anything for when you record.
Number 12 is to be aware of your energy levels. This can kind of go into like, maybe you don't have too much caffeine that morning or whatever that looks like for you. The normal, typical energy that you show up with on stories, on your podcast, on your YouTube, don't all of a sudden when you hit that record button become a different person with your energy. Your energy needs to remain the same. However, if you do feel like you are someone who has like pretty good energy, and then you're wondering, you're watching yourself on camera thinking like, wait, I don't understand. Like, I just thought I was on, and then I looked at myself and it looks like I'm like totally not liking this at all. It's because if you're using a high quality, good camera, you have to be a little bit extra when it comes to that energy.
Yeah. I remember when we interviewed Becca Foxwell and we asked her like, hey, how do you bring that energy? Cause she's a former public school teacher. She's like, just go do like 20 jumping jacks and then you're going to be good to go.
Yes. You have to bring that energy, because if you are expecting your learner to get excited about what you're doing, you got to like turn it on a little bit. And you may feel like you're being a little extra, but practice that. And this is where we talked about the live, like you just mentioned, teaching it live. That's going to help you understand like, hey, I'm losing people. They're not paying attention. Okay, I got to turn it on a little bit more.
Number 13, always restart in sentences. So what that means is nobody's going to be perfect. Whether you're in front of a camera, you're in front of a microphone, we're going to mess up. We're going to say something. We're not going to complete sentences. That's why we pretty much always edit our material before we put it out there. And so a good rule of thumb is that if you are recording, especially if it's your first time recording, if you mess up, always restart the sentence. This will help your editor if you have one. This will help you if you're editing yourself, but always restart complete sentences.
Number 14 is to imagine that you are not teaching your computer microphone. You're not teaching the camera. You're teaching your people. You're teaching the learner. And this is something where maybe if you have a Facebook group or if you have an Instagram following, like see if you can go live, talk to them, just kind of get that feel of this is what it's like to teach them. And then, all right, now it's time to record. And if you have testimonial stories that you want to put around you as you're doing this, you are not teaching the camera. You're teaching the learner.
Number 15. Practice, be prepared, practice. So many people overlook this and they think, I'm not the practice type. I'm the free spirit creative type. I'm just going to sit down and roll with it. And that may be true, but let it be said, just practice, because if you can practice your content, rehearse it a little bit, it's going to be so much better. Nobody ever looks back at the first time they've ever done anything, and that includes teaching an online course, and say, oh, that was awesome. So make sure that when you get in front of a camera or you get in front of a microphone, it's not the first time.
Yes. And that's where, like you said, kind of bringing in the points from earlier, teach live, whether that's real people or a live webinar class. All the ways that you know how to deliver your content, try a myriad different options for you, because then when you sit down to record, it's going to feel so natural. Number 16 is to limit or just don't
abstain
from drinking alcohol the night before and the day of your recording. And we know this well because unfortunately we recorded some people's course and they got completely sloshed. And that's all we're going to say about that.
Long story,
but it was not the best. There was lots of slurring in the course. And the biggest thing that you and I know from, we enjoy red wine, we enjoy drinking together. However, we even limit it during the week because it affects you. It affects your sleep, and as a sleep professional, like it affects your sleep. So don't have a drink the night before. You want to sleep best. You want to feel your best. But then the day of, especially, don't have a drink. Don't start your day off with a drink before your course. Maybe save that celebratory clink, clink for the end of the
day. About to say, bonus tip, throw yourself a wrap party.
Yeah, you know?
And enjoy it afterwards.
That's when you can have something, but not before and not the night before.
Number 17, don't deliver content that you've never said before. So this kind of goes back to making sure you practice, but it gets a little bit deeper. Don't write content. Don't record content that isn't you. Make sure that it's come out of you. It's ingrained in you. You've said it before.
Don't find an Instagram post or a YouTube video and be like, oh, I really like how that person said it.
Throw it in last minute.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to use that analogy, because then you're going to completely fumble it and people will know. Number 18 is to eliminate junk words.
Give us some junk words. Actually, let's play a game real quick. How many junk words can you throw in 30 seconds? Go.
So, if, but, and, ah, to.
Right?
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. Now, there's a ton of AI software out there. There's tons of editing software that can get rid of that. But it is honestly great practice to think about it before you start recording. There have been many people I've worked with. I call them ummers. And the reality is they don't know that they're ummers until you say, hey, you're saying a lot of ums. And then they're like, you're right.
Yes.
Like is another one, by the way.
Like is another one. That is true. We've helped a lot of people with that. When I was a kid growing up on the radio, they had every Friday, they would play the and ah game. And so you would call in. I used to want to be like, do this. We should just do it one day for fun. But you would call into the radio show and they would give you a topic and you had to speak for 30 seconds on that topic without saying or ah. And if you won, you got tickets to like an event that weekend.
That's an amazing game.
I know, we should play that. Let's do that on podcast one day. That'd be really fun.
Try it on your own. Number 19, this is very similar to the junk words, but watch your transition words. What this means is avoid starting your lesson, avoid starting your sentences with the same words. So this is not just the trash words that you want to throw away, but—
So you actually just said it too.
But subconsciously, like we don't think about that. And we find ourselves starting every word with so, or—
Which was, again, my job when we filmed people, I was the one that was like, hey, fix your necklace. Hey, fix this. Also, by the way, you've started every video with so or next, and you have to find new transition words. And so bringing that someone with you to help with that, but eliminate so, eliminate next. Also, we're going to get into this in a second. You want to eliminate words that wrap you or force you or box you into that lesson or what the person watched before, which I'm probably getting ahead of myself. So I'm just going to go ahead and wrap that up. All right. Number 20 is to always do a test recording.
And that's especially if you're DIYing it, but obviously, if you're hiring somebody to film you or record you, most of the time, if they're there in person, they're going to do a test recording anyway. But if you're listening to this right now and you have your own podcast, I'm sure everybody has stories of how you've recorded this entire podcast and you go back and to listen to it and you had the wrong mic going or there was this sound in the background.
Or how many times have we recorded a video and I'm like, I do not like the way that my eyebrows look, like whatever it is.
You recorded an entire course once and your necklace.
Yes. And we actually still have it for sale. My necklace is completely like lopsided. And I was so mad that nobody told me this.
Yeah. But that was our first time. But anyway, lesson learned. If you want to deliver well online, always do a test recording. Make sure that the levels are right. Make sure that the picture looks the way it wants it to. Everything. Number 21, create a perfect recording environment.
Once upon a time, we were recording some of our dear friends and their adult sleep course. And we had the perfect studio, the absolute perfect studio for photographers, not for videography. And the day that this was going on, there was a busy city street right outside. And the day that these clients flew in from Chicago to record their course, some reason, the city decided to literally grind the pavement into fine powder right outside the window.
And you talked about my Enneagram level where like I have not only plan A, but plan B and plan C. I remember showing up that day. We booked the studio for 2 days. They flew in from Chicago. We are in Virginia. So, I mean, this was for me at the time, this was high stakes.
Oh yeah.
And I show up and y'all, I'm not even kidding. My skin went flush. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do this.
I think the day that this goes live, I'm going to post on our Instagram stories. Like, this is what it looked like the day that we were doing this. It was a nightmare situation. So whether if you're doing an audio podcast style course, go to your closet, somewhere that's going to be really quiet. If you're doing this on your computer with slides, make sure it's a day where if you've got kids or dogs, like they are out of the house, it's not going to be a distraction for you. Make sure no one's mowing the lawn, like all these things, just try to create the best environment you can.
And the video environment, particularly, make sure it's good lighting. You don't want yellow, bad, dim lighting. You want really good lighting.
Number 22 is to get all of your recording done before lunch, because after lunch, you are toast.
Lunch is a killer. And I remember, like, at first, this never was a key that we thought of.
No.
But after we ourselves have filmed several and then doing it for others, we realize lunch drains you.
Yes. This is part of our course writers coaching. We're going to give our people like a timeline of like, here's the videos you need to be cutting, because we have a formula to what videos we cut before lunch and what videos we cut after lunch, because it's an absolute game changer when your mood just crashes afterwards. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to turn it on and deliver the most difficult part of my course. Like, avoid that by getting all of your bulk material done before lunch.
Number 23, set realistic goals for yourself. Don't try to film or record everything in one day. Now, I know this gets really hard if you're paying somebody a lot of money, maybe a professional company to come in and film you. I understand that they get paid by the hour or a day rate and it can get really expensive. But if you're in a situation like that, or if you're doing a DIY, try to plan several days of recording. At minimum, we do two full days of recording at a minimum, but the sweet spot would be at least 3 days. You don't want to put that pressure on yourself. If something goes wrong, if it's taking too long, you want to make sure that you have plenty of time.
We have five left. However, we're going to cut to our interview with Courtney Eibinger. She is going through one of our keys to delivery is using Kajabi. Don't forget, we have a free 30-day trial for you. You can check the show notes. But Courtney is going to explain why Kajabi is so great, what she has done for us, and some tips on choosing the right platform for you. Okay, we have Courtney Eibinger, who is our Kajabi wizard, aka her actual title is Kajabi specialist, with us. And I joked for the longest time that this episode should be called, if you want to teach well online, it's K, you need to use Kajabi, because it's the best way to teach online is through this platform called Kajabi. We've talked about it a lot, but the reason that we love Kajabi is now mostly because of Courtney's wizarding work inside of it. So thank you for joining us, Courtney. Would you just share a little bit of what you do and who you are?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here. Like you said, I am a Kajabi specialist, which means that I get to work with online course creators, online membership creators, and basically help them with the tech setup inside of Kajabi that comes along with selling an online course or membership. There's all of the tech side of things that maybe people don't realize when they're getting into selling online courses and memberships. And I just absolutely love getting to help them with that.
I pulled up their website right before we jumped on this call, and they have like creators have earned over $6 billion and counting in revenue just with Kajabi. Creators have built 100,000 businesses with Kajabi, and the creators have served over 75 million customers with Kajabi.
And recently somebody emailed me, this is like, I laughed when I saw this email because this girl was dead serious. She was like, "Hey, have you heard of such and such platform?" It's like, no. So I clicked on it and I go over, oh my gosh, Courtney, it was so embarrassing. It was like, the website was trying to be like this on Kajabi. They were like, "Our creators have earned $1 million. I was like, that is so lame.
But I bring that up because it's important that if you are serious about teaching well online, you want to use a great platform that delivers well for the customers and that serves your business well. And Kajabi is just, it is proven. And so my question for you, Courtney, just based on your experience, because I'm sure, you know, you're in Kajabi, but you've probably heard of a lot of the other platforms out there, and I'm not knocking them at all, but like based on your experience, like what edge do you think Kajabi has over maybe similar platforms?
I would definitely say that one of the biggest features outside of even the tech itself that you get inside of Kajabi is their customer support. And it is just a huge benefit to be able to have their live chat support, to be able to reach out. I mean, I have had questions that clients have had, or like a weird glitchy thing maybe happens and I'm like, not sure why that happened. I hop on the chat support and they are so dedicated to helping you solve your problem, find your answer, help you out. And that is something that is really not present in a lot of the other course platforms out there, at least when I was working in them before. Most of the time you would have to send an email in and you'd be waiting days to get back. And as you know, when you are launching a course, like time is of the essence. When you have a deadline and you're trying to figure out what this little issue is, being able to connect with someone quickly is just a huge asset.
I would agree. And I've benefited from their chat support. You know, the other thing too, is they're so nice.
They like are. They really are.
I brought some serious, like, I remember the one time it was like we had some kind of issue and I think it was unique to us, but I'm just like, y'all, this is not working. And they're like, "We need to send you to the developer team." I'm like, what? And they're like, "Yeah, you got to go to the developer team." But they sent me to the developer team and the developer team got back with me and they're like, "We have a coding issue. Let's fix that for you." Like they're top notch and they're cutting edge.
So we have had a lot of conversations with many business owners in the past 3 months, Chad. This is over years, but like, especially in the last 3 months, we have been trying to convince people to use Kajabi. They are startups or they have an idea for something and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I've got to have an email platform and a website and a blog. And I want to have a membership." Like those are a lot of expenses. Like, I'll just use Gmail right now. And I'm like, no, that's not going to work. So what would you say to someone who they're serious? They're not just playing around. This is not like a little side hobby, or it is a side hustle maybe, but they're not just like, they actually are going to do it. What would you say to a serious online creator that has hesitations about Kajabi's price? Because it's not cheap, right? It can be about $199 a month. So what is your take on that?
I have actually done a whole blog post on this, because I get this same exact question many times, and I have priced out the different scenarios of different platforms and how you would need to piece them together in order to, like you said, have an email list and send out emails, be able to set up opt-in forms and have your website and set up blog posts. And when you really start to piece everything out and price out what that looks like, there really isn't a ton of difference in price between separate pieces of software and then Kajabi, where it's all in one. But with Kajabi, also you're learning one platform. And so if you are someone who wants to spend your time figuring things out, you don't want to have to jump between learning all these different platforms, then it's great to be able to focus on one platform from the start. And I have worked with many people that have moved platforms over to Kajabi. You know, they got started on a cheaper platform and they are like, okay, it's time. I need to move my content over. And that's just a process that you have to keep in mind has to then happen too. So if you're serious about it, it is so much easier not to have to move all of your course content, all of that setup over to Kajabi later on. Just invest in it from the get-go and you really will save yourself so much stress and hassle in the long run, even if you're, you know, paying a little bit more upfront as you're getting started.
You are definitely speaking Chad Kimball language. He is all about, and like, I agree with it, but like, this is especially true for Chad. He's like, do it right the first time, Becca.
Yeah.
And that's what he tells people.
Yeah. If you're listening to this and you're thinking like, how hard is it to build an online course, right? I mean, it's gotta be easy to write it and teach it and stuff. I don't think if you've never done it before, I don't think many people realize how much goes into actually building it out. And I mean, that's why I believe God creates everybody differently, because I mean, what you do, Courtney, I could not fathom doing, right? I mean, just in a single lesson, you know, you've got video and you got sidebars and you've got links and you've got titles and you've got descriptions and you've got tags. And I mean, it is insane, but you make it easy because you just take you take the teaching and you're like, hey, I'll take care of everything else for you. And literally within a day or two, all of a sudden, like, a course is fully built and fully functional and fully designed. And most people don't realize how much goes into that. Could you talk for a second, like, how much time does it take you to actually build and design out a course for a client?
Yeah. So early on in my kind of service provider journey, these projects typically would be like 4 to 6 week projects. And oftentimes that is also where, you know, they're finishing up their content as well. Or, and this is as I was, you know, learning early on about course creators and how all of that works too. Then they'd be like, okay, I don't have my content quite finished yet or this and that. But once you finally get to that point of setting everything up, there are just so many pieces where you have to have your branding ready to go to set it up. You have to have your content ready to go. And so it would be 4 to 6 weeks to get all of that input into Kajabi and ready to sell. Over time, as I worked with clients, I just was able to create a system or that I could repeat. It's like rinse and repeat with new clients where they have to go through the same process no matter what in order to get to that point where you have a course that's ready to sell. And so once they are at that point where they've got their content, got their branding, all of those building blocks that I say that come before the tech setup, now I can take all of that and get everything set up in one day so that it's ready to sell. And that
one day,
this is Superwoman right here.
And it is a like intense, fast and furious day, but I absolutely love that I can just focus on that project and see their excitement, because for them, they're watching the course that they have poured their, you know, blood, sweat and tears into over the past however long that they've spent getting all their content together. And actually to watch it come to life over the course of a day is just so exciting to them. And that's the part that I just love the best, is watching their reactions throughout the day as I share screenshots and videos of like, this is how the course is looking, and just their total excitement.
And I get so excited about that. I'm like, oh, Courtney sent me a picture. I can't wait to see.
And this one day that you just talked about, this, you call this a VIP day, right?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about this service, how you interact with the customer, make them special, how you send them lunch and dinner? I didn't mean that. No, I'm just kidding. Like, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this process starts with a 60-minute blueprint call with the client where we actually map out all of those tech pieces that are going to be set up in Kajabi. And that has something that I have learned after working with clients is they don't always realize what even needs to be set up. Like, I know I need to have a course set up, but I need a checkout page. I need a thank you page. I need a welcome email. Like, there's all of these other little components on that customer journey as someone is enrolling in your course. And so we map all of that out together so that they know all of these components are going to get set up during your VIP day. And then they get some prep work from me where they share all of their content and branding, and we talk through the product themes and what product theme that they want to use for their course, and kind of get an idea of what I recommend and some of the strategy behind that. And then from there, after that prep work is done, they just get to sit back and relax. And that's their favorite part, is that I'm working on everything throughout the day. So I'm just sending them updates through like Voxer, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, however they want to communicate on that VIP day. So as I'm working on sending them screenshots, videos, updates, they give me feedback. We can make any tweaks and changes right there. And then it's done at the end of the day. And I create custom tutorial videos for them that walk them through, okay, this is how you actually can access everything that's set up. Let's say you need to swap out a video or update some text. I really want the clients to feel empowered inside of Kajabi, even if they didn't do all the nitty-gritty setup. I really want them to feel comfortable and confident on how they can go and kind of navigate the platform themselves.
That is so good. Could you give us a little insight? So you've worked with a lot of online course creators, and we have talked a lot about how there's different styles and delivery methods of teaching. So you'll have some people that have highly produced face-to-camera teaching, but Kajabi also offers audio-only teaching. You can have downloads. You can do slides. So just, I'm curious, with the clients that you've worked with, like, what do you see the most of, or do you see a pretty healthy mixture of all of those things?
I would say the most that I see is that video content still, either a mixture of all video or video and then some audio content. I would say that's pretty much course side of things what I see. But because Kajabi has so many different other kind of product options in there, memberships, for example, there are tons of people that have template memberships where they have no videos inside of their membership and it's templates that they sell, Canva templates or, you know, whatever, Google Doc templates. And then there's also like coaching products where there is just like recorded calls that get uploaded after the fact from coaching sessions, and then PDFs and downloads that go with that. So it's really a mixture of all things, and it kind of depends on what their final mode of delivery is.
I like the differentiated ways that you can use Kajabi. And there's like, we could just make a whole nother episode. I'm like, this is why we love Kajabi. And everyone's like, be quiet. I get it. But what I would love to do as we close out is I want to switch this real fast to the actual learner and their consumption of the platform. So what would you say are some things that you see as a benefit to using Kajabi from the learner's perspective? Anything else to add?
Yeah, I will definitely add that there is an app that also goes along with the like web-based version of accessing a course. The app is definitely a little bit more stripped down than what they're going to see on the desktop version, but that is a great option for people that are on the go and want to listen to an audio recording that you have in your course. They can do that easily from their phone or tablet or wherever. So that is definitely one huge benefit. Another great benefit is just that there is different ways to access the content in terms of like downloading those resources. If you're going to have a transcript that goes along with your video, being able to hit different modes of learning and have those transcripts along with videos, audios, and just having a mix of that is possible inside of Kajabi, whereas I know there's not always as many options in some other course platforms.
Yeah, Kajabi has really they've basically set it up where there's should be no excuse from a learner's perspective to learn, but it does put the burden on the teacher to make sure that you're doing all the right stuff, because you can meet the learners where they are if you have the right platform. You can give them transcripts, you can give them video, you can give them audio only content, you can give them a community with comment sections, you can give them upsells and downsells, you can give them all of those things. And so it does put a burden on the teacher and the builder to make sure that they do it right. But that's my biggest takeaway with Kajabi, is that they really have put the learner in mind, the user experience, to make sure that like there's no excuse for you to hop on and learn and do it in a really great way.
All right, Courtney, where can we get in touch with you if we want to rush onto your calendar and book a VIP day?
You're so sweet. So you can follow me on Instagram at Courtney Eibinger, or my website is just CourtneyEibinger.com, and that has all the VIP day info, the blueprint session info on there. And just send me a message on Instagram if you have any questions, and I would love to chat with you.
We're also going to link that blog that you mentioned that talks about like the breakdown of the Kajabi versus other platforms, because I know that's going to speak a lot of truth into many people who are like, yeah, but I'm just gonna ... So thank you for joining us, Courtney. I really appreciate this conversation.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Number 25, have your entire course written out before you record. You may laugh at this. You may think, well, duh, you know how many people don't understand that? But it's important from a learner's perspective. You have to know at every lesson that you're teaching, you have to know where you are. You have to be connecting it. Education is all about connection, connecting it to the content that came before. You have to know where you're going. So make sure that you have the whole thing written out before you actually record it.
Number 26 is to avoid making promises for what you're about to do within the course. I cannot tell you how many times I'm not even blaming clients. I have said, oh, and by the way, I have a free download for you, but I have to go and like quickly make that free download. I just had the idea while we were recording. And if you promise things like, oh, well, later we'll talk about this, or there's a free download, the chances are you're going to forget you made those promises. And then when someone buys the course and they get in, they're like, where's that free download that she talked about? Some people will email you. Really nice.
Absolutely.
Some people will be like, where's my download? Yeah, and you definitely want to make sure you're not promising things that you have to go back and figure out where to put it in.
Don't say things like, yeah, we'll talk about this later, or we'll get this download to you later, or this event's going to happen later, and then it not actually happen, because the quickest way to erode your trust is to promise things and it not actually happen. 27, don't date anything. If you're doing YouTube, if you're doing podcasts, if you're teaching online, try to avoid using dates, because you'll be amazed how fast the years go.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. There's definitely, it's easy to say, oh, well, recently I did blah, 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 or coming soon, or even, you know, using any type of language that can date things. You want to try to make it as timeless as possible. Number 28, I feel like I have to take like a deep breath. This is like, don't be rushed. I talk so fast. And part of the reason why I talk so fast, I've done counseling, I figured this out about myself, is that I am truthfully like innerly afraid that people will stop listening to me. And so I've just got to get it out as fast as I can. That way, you know, and then before you leave, like I'm so afraid that people are going to stop listening to me. However, this has negatively affected a lot of things in our life, but most definitely inside our courses, because those people paid me. They want to know what I have to say. And if I rush through it and act like I'm just going to try to fire hose this information to you, I think that I'm helping them by like rushing through it to get you to the finish line, but they're actually confused. And so I remember I had a student teaching mentor one time, and she kept telling me, hold your horses, like slow down. And this is something that you have to remember. If you're bringing that person with you who can call you out on things, have that person remind you, slow down. Don't be rushed. Take your time.
And we tend to just get that balance wrong sometimes. We know that we have to be a little bit amped up and have some energy, but overdoing it can tend to rush through things. So you have to find that balance. And you just said it, having somebody listen and be there with you and calling it out, it's probably the best way to counteract that. Number 29, don't be afraid to cancel and push your recording date back. Life happens. And this has happened to us. This has happened to some dear friends of ours. It just happens. It happens when you go and you book a studio for clients in Chicago, and then they decide to do road work. But life happens. Don't beat yourself up about it.
But have some backup dates in mind. So if you're looking at your calendar thinking, I'm going to film for these 3 days, don't tell yourself that 2 weeks from then you'll be launching the course. Give yourself some space and some buffer time, because what if you wake up sick? What if you literally wake up and you're like, I don't have it in me today. I just can't do it. That's me. Sometimes I just have to like feel it to do it. And if I wake up and it's like, you're supposed to be on today, Becca, and I don't feel it, that's a problem.
And it comes across in the camera too.
Yes, it does. Number 30 is to be ruthless when it comes to the editing. There may be things you think, oh gosh, I don't really love that, but I mean, I guess we'll keep it in. If there is something that you don't like and you don't think it actually adds value to the course, have them delete it. Delete it yourself. But go back, watch through everything. Don't take your editor or your camera person as like, oh, well, I trust them. They'll definitely let me know if I should delete something. This is up to you. This is your course. So make sure that you are completing every step of the process completely.
Number 31, the final one, Look directly into the eye of the camera. And yes, this is talking to those of you that decide to actually teach direct to camera, or maybe slides where you're in the camera. make sure that you're looking directly into the camera. Don't look at the back wall. Don't look at people that aren't there. Make sure you're directly engaging, because you have to break that virtual wall. People are watching you virtually. You have to make sure that you're looking right at them.
Sometimes there is a red dot on the camera, and I'm even looking at like our cameras that we're filming with. There's sometimes a little red dot, and I would find myself looking at the red dot. That's not the camera. Look directly into the eye of the camera. It's going to be a game changer. And again, whether you're using your phone, you're not looking at the screen. Don't be looking at yourself. Look at the actual eye of the camera. When you do that, it is a game changer to how the learner will actually feel like you're looking directly at me.
So there it is, our 31 keys to making sure that you deliver your content really well. Delivery is so important. You can have the best content in the world, but if you don't deliver it well, people aren't going to want to learn from you.
All of these, we've written them down for you. So if you are getting ready to film or you're getting ready to record something, just head to the show notes. We have just a one page download for you to just easily print off and post it so that you can remember these keys to delivery. Thank you so much for being here. This is a lot of fun for us to go through the entire alphabet. We have our podcast here live for you, and head on over to Instagram because we love to share the ins and outs of what we're doing.
Remember, anyone can teach well online
if they know how.